You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, September 22nd. Almost 20 years ago, the Nadana Wave subdivision proposed building in wetlands in Rockaway Beach. The project landed key city approvals at the time, but then the housing market crashed and the project was put on hold. The project reemerged last year when the developer asked the city for an amendment to allow for additional units. The Planning Commission approved the request last July. This triggered an appeal by the Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition, who said the subdivision project had been on too long of a hiatus and should be considered a new development. They also noted concerns around zoning restrictions in wetlands development. After the City Council denied the appeal, Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition appealed to the state, which found two errors in the City Council's decision and sent the matter back to the city. Now, the City Council has reversed its previous decision and the decision by the Planning Commission and have denied the subdivision's application. Local environmentalists call it a significant victory, but cautioned that it may not be the end of the story. They said they'll need to pay attention and keep working to make protections of the wetlands permanent. Some information in this story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. When Oregonians think about Tillamook, they generally picture cows or a big block of cheese. But at the airport, there's a company that's operating on the cutting edge of space. Christian Fodenwenzel visited Aerostar Tillamook and files this report.
Aerostar business manager Kevin Tucker says Oregonians simply aren't aware there's an aerospace company in their midst.
It's like, oh, you guys are doing secret stuff. We're like, no, it's just different.
It is different. For example, the International Space Station needs to be airtight. So inside the metal skin, which protects against radiation, is basically a big plastic bag.
There's only been one air barrier ever certified by NASA to go to space, and we made it.
The company's expertise lies in putting together soft pieces of high-tech fabric, meaning Aerostar employs a lot of highly trained structural engineers and sewing professionals.
The know-how that we have is how to take pieces, put them together with very uniform loads and stresses so that when they're under pressure, there's no failure points. They don't pop.
One of Aerostar's main products is high-altitude balloons. Space agencies use them to carry payloads 23 miles high outside 99.99% of the Earth's atmosphere to test them.
It's just about like being in space, except gravity is still there.
For example, Aerostar tested a parachute designed to land a spacecraft on Mars. The company took it up 120,000 feet, where the atmospheric density is similar to Mars, and dropped it. The parachute worked, but...
They haven't gone to Mars because if you look at the timing of that mission, European Space Agency was partnered with Roscosmos, the Russian space agency. Things kind of dissolved right about there.
The mission was terminated. Meanwhile, lifting and dropping large pieces of machinery can be tricky, which is one of the reasons Aerostar is based in Tillamook. It has a relatively empty airspace.
There's military traffic, some general... But in terms of where you watch the crisscrosses of aircraft, straight above us right now, there's nothing.
Inside Aerostar's large factory, there are two tables, over 300 feet long. That's where long sheets of plastic are put together to make a balloon, explains engineering supervisor Ryan Tabb.
Those are all heat sealed together. Multiple sealing technologies here. There's overhead gantries to ride along sealers that right along the table with the operator driving it.
Aerostar balloons have tested all kinds of space equipment. For example, before the Ingenuity helicopter flew on Mars in 2021, Aerostar tested a glider. There are no runways on Mars, so the glider needed to be released from the spacecraft as it was falling.
How do you pack it? How do you deploy it? At what altitude? Putting it into flight conditions when you're in an aeroshell moving it. Supersonic speeds, it's complex.
In the end, NASA opted to fly the helicopter instead. Aerostar is now testing an aerobot, which is essentially a remote-controlled balloon. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory is considering sending one to Venus.
It hasn't gone yet. This would be a few years down the road. But proving that this type system can operate in the Venus atmosphere, which is predominantly acid, and there's a hundreds of degrees temperature difference between night and day, has some difficulties.
Unlike a helicopter, a remote-controlled balloon could conceivably float around Venus for a long time, taking pictures and making measurements. Aerostar tested a prototype this summer.
So will it ever go? I don't know. I mean, just like when we tested the aircraft to go to Mars, we proved that that works.
Working on things that might never get used can be tough.
It's life, yeah. It's, yeah, sure, you'd like it to go, but...
But the science is fascinating. Aerostar is currently focused on building airbags to make sure the Orion spacecraft remains upright during splashdown. It's part of NASA's Artemis program, which aims to establish a long-term presence on the moon. Aerostar is also on the cutting edge of some ground-based projects. It recently set the record for the longest ever balloon flight, well over a year and still flying, and it's experimenting with flying balloons over wildfires to give firefighters better aerial views and more reliable cell phone coverage. Christian Foden-Wenzel, Tillamook.
Bomb technicians from the Oregon State Police and Salem Police Departments responded to a report on Tuesday of a suspicious backpack in a public restroom at Sunset Beach State Recreation Site in Clatsop County. A mother and her 2-year-old son, who had traveled to the beach that morning, were the first to discover the suspicious backpack. As they had stopped to use the restroom before going to the beach, the mother's son had started to open the door to the restroom and noticed the backpack tied to the door with shoelaces. The mother then took her son to a different restroom and quickly notified a park ranger about the backpack. Oregon State Park staff called in Oregon State Police after the backpack was found by the ranger. A device in the backpack was then rendered safe, and no injuries were associated with the incident. State Parks and Oregon State Police checked multiple locations throughout the day on Tuesday and did not locate any additional suspicious devices. Officials said they believe it is an isolated incident. Any suspicious objects can always be reported to local law enforcement by calling 911. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. Public health agencies for Lane, Benton, Deschutes, Lincoln, and Douglas counties are among those who say they will follow the state's vaccine guidelines for respiratory illnesses. KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports.
County officials say they're reiterating the recommendations of multiple state groups, keeping vaccines for flu, RSV, and COVID-19 accessible to most residents without a prescription. Agencies say they felt the need to do so based on changing federal guidelines. Lane County Senior Public Health Officer Dr. Patrick Ludke says residents' usual health care providers will be able to make recommendations for what vaccines to get.
They should start with their provider. If they don't have a provider, if they just moved here, they can go to a pharmacy for select vaccines. Pharmacies can vaccinate age 7 and above.
He says either a doctor's office or a pharmacist can also help with concerns about vaccines being covered by insurance. I'm Zach Ziegler reporting.
Earlier this year, the Trump administration cut several programs meant to bring healthy local foods to schools. But now, as OPB's Alejandro Figueroa reports, the USDA is bringing one popular program back.
The Patrick Leahy Farm to School Grant Program is a big deal. It's one of the only federal programs that exclusively funds projects like gardens at schools or nutrition education. Oregon had received $3.6 million over the last decade. Earlier this year, the government froze millions of dollars for that program. Now, officials say it's back as part of the Make America Healthy Again roadmap. Melinda Barker is the director of the Oregon Farm to School Network. She says it only goes so far.
There is a suite of funding from the USDA that we are still missing in the farm to school and local food community for sure.
That includes $6 million for another federal program for Oregon schools to source local foods. I'm Alejandro Figueroa reporting.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and, for now, to catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. As I'm sure almost all of you are aware of by now, we are going to be losing our NPR programming starting on October 1st. This is a budgetary decision by KMUN. NPR programming is very expensive for us to provide, and following the summer's federal rescission bill, we won't have the finances to provide it any longer. Beginning on October 1st at 7:59, you'll hear my voice as usual, and then we'll be going into some partner programming for the first half hour. Beginning at 8:30, we're back with local and regional news and the Ship Report. It's going to be a change, but we think it will be a good change ultimately. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. We'll see you tomorrow.